All right, welcome to the Relay FM member special for Mac power users. This is an episode going out to our members. So if you are a member of MPU, thank you for the support. But of course, if you're listening to this, you're a Relay FM member somewhere to some show. So thank you for that as well. We're doing something fun and wacky this time. We have decided to draft Apple hardware. And I tried pinning David down to different types of rounds, like the best laptops, the best notebooks. But David, you insisted that we just do this open-ended. So it's just going to be picking our favorite Macs, the most important Macs. I think we can defend our choice, maybe is how we do it, to make that all the more interesting.
Wait a second. We're just doing Macs?
Well, no. So we have two rounds of Macs, and then round three.
Scratching out the iPhone.
And then, well, round three is other Apple hardware. So phones, iPads, Newtons,
okay,
speakers, whatever we want for round three. Round three will be madness.
All right. Okay, good. Because I have ideas. I have thoughts. One of the things about this draft that's interesting is we didn't give any context to it. So, like, I feel like a lot of my picks are nostalgic more than they're probably the best products. I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
I think we explain our picks as we go.
There we go.
And you know, we can decide if it was a good idea or not.
Well, yeah. Or you can decide if it's a good idea or not.
Sure. We have decided that the only fair way to see who goes first per round is for Siri to flip a coin.
Yes.
It's the only way we do this, right? Like,
yeah.
So I'm going to ask Siri to flip a coin, and I would say that, what do you want? Do you want to pick heads or tails?
Heads. Why not?
Heads. Okay. So if Siri picks heads, you go first. Tails, I go first. So Siri, flip a coin. All right. It is tails. So I get to go first.
All right.
My phone is on silent because we're recording a podcast. You just have to believe me that it said tails.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with, for my pick one, I'm going to go with the original plastic MacBook. It came, you know, in white and black, 13 inches. I'm picking this for a couple of reasons. One, it is sort of nostalgic. I owned a black one for a little while. My brother had a black one, though, when they were new, which was super cool. I was super jealous of him. But I think it's for people who came to the Mac, you know, sort of this post-Intel space, a lot of people started with the MacBook. They were extremely popular. In my mind, it is anchored in my college era. I was in college from 2004 to whenever I finally finished. And there were just white and black plastic MacBooks everywhere. I mean, everyone had one. It was extremely popular. It was affordable. It was a great machine. And they had some issues with case chipping and stuff, but they were pretty reliable in terms of actual hardware once you got past the plastic cases. And it was just, I think, when people thought of the Mac from 2006 to 2010 or so, 2011, people thought about the white plastic MacBook first.
Yeah, and then eventually they thought about the yellow plastic MacBook.
They did also discolor. Yeah, that's not a perfect machine, you know, but one that I think was important to a lot of people.
Honestly, I don't know how you pick that as the number one pick, Steven. You had all the Macs.
There's like 60 in this office, but I have some more obscure picks. But, you know, I was thinking just it feels like a Mac that should be given some honor here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get a lot of credit, and I think it should.
Well, my first pick is the one that you should have picked.
Okay.
Macintosh 128K, the original Macintosh. The one that...
Where it all started, baby.
The one that changed the world. The one that I saw for the first time and went, smacked my forehead, because I'd been using the command line, you know, ever since. I'm like, what is this madness? You know, what is this mouse thing? And boy, it just changed my whole outlook as to the way computers work. That was the beginning for me, the idea of that computers are tools to help you get work done as opposed to tools that you work on, if that makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense. And it is definitely worth that mention because, you know, in a way, it actually wasn't that great of a computer. Like, it had its limitations and Apple moved past it pretty quickly.
Memory constrained. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was where it all started.
I wanted one so bad. There was a local store that had one. I would go in and play with it, like, to the extent that they would throw me out at some point. I didn't have the money for one. Then when I went to college, they had them in the computer lab. But by then, I think it was the Mac 512. But, you know, I didn't have one for the first few years of college, but I did all of my computing on one. you know, just in the computer lab at college. But yeah, it just, I don't know. It's just such a, and I know that there were prior, you know, was Xerox had, you know, started this whole move towards this graphical user interface. There was the Lisa. There were other computers out there. But I mean, the Macintosh was the one, as someone who was kind of around during the period, pretty connected to this stuff. The Macintosh was the one that was the one that made it obvious that this is the future.
What was your first Mac, just for
used 512.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was like the Mac you bought yourself at some point, or yeah, somebody bought for you. Okay.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it used, but it was great. And yeah, I didn't have any money, and I got by with it just fine for a long time.
My next pick is going to be, it was my first Mac in the sense that it a job bought it, but they let me use it as my own system, which is really cool. And that is the Titanium PowerBook G4. I think anyone who is familiar with me will know this is a computer that I really love for a bunch of reasons. I have the nostalgia that, you know, I got to use it as my first Mac. The first Mac I ever used, like some beige Mac in high school, and then the iMac G3 and others. But this was the first Mac I got to take home with me. My boss at the time was very understanding of a senior in high school. It was very cool with me using it, and I took it to college. I worked for him through college, and it was important to me as it was like my first Mac, if you will. But it also was a real landmark machine in terms of Apple's design. It was the first, you know, laptop that if you kind of squint and back away from your desk, it looks like a modern MacBook Pro, right? It's got black keyboard, it's made of metal, has thin bezels, and like the original MacBook that I chose, I like my Macs to have something wrong with them, apparently. You know, the paint chipped off, the hinges broke, they got really hot, but all that got fixed with the aluminum PowerBook. But that's not the one I chose. I chose the titanium because it was sort of ground zero for this industrial design, and it was so radically different than what came before it. The PowerBook G3s were like black plastic, swoopy, a lot thicker, and this was just a chunk of metal that happened to have a laptop in it, and it blew me away when it came out. And I've got a couple of them now in my collection, and I absolutely adore them. I really do.
Well, I mean, that's the computer that changed the way laptops look for the next, 20 years? I mean, the computers still look like that.
Still,
I mean, we don't know how long it's going to continue.
It really was an archetype, and I don't know if Apple saw that at the time, but in hindsight, it's really clear that that is how things were going to go. And it had some weirdness too, like the ports were all in the back behind a door, which is actually really nice if you use it like at your desk because you don't have cables everywhere. So some things have changed, but the general recipe is still the same today.
What do you think? Like, for the longest time in our heads, a computer was a beige box, and then a different Apple product came along and changed what we thought a computer looked like. And then same thing with the laptops. For the long time, laptop was a plastic creaky thing, and then Apple changed that with this design. How long do you think it is until the new paradigm arrives? I mean, this isn't going to last forever, right? I mean, in 100 years, are they still going to look like this?
I don't think we're going to be making laptops in 100 years. I think we'll all be on, something well beyond it. But I think as long as notebooks are a thing, this will be the recipe. I mean, they haven't really changed much from it. You know, the ports are on the side now, and they ditched the optical drive, and they're thinner.
Yeah.
But I think this is a design that is really going to stand the test of time for a long time to come.
Well, my next pick, I went to a really old Mac. I'm going to a really new one. My next pick is the iMac.
Okay.
iMac Pro. I love.
Oh yeah.
I love this. It deserves to be on a draft list. This is an amazing Mac. I mean, just I don't think it got enough credit because it looks just like the iMac. You know, people say, well, you know, you're paying a bunch of money for that black paint job, but no, what you're paying for is a total redesign on the inside, better thermals, faster, quieter. I mean, this computer, I was just telling a friend of mine who's buying one, who needs it, legitimately needs it. I said, you're going to use this thing a long time. It's just, I cannot get over how much I'm lovingly stroking my iMac as we talk. This is a wonderful computer. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. I really love mine too. It has exceeded my expectations in terms of performance and at the noise level where it is practically silent all the time. I really love the all-in-one lifestyle. We've spoken about this on the show. You use external displays with your iMac Pro. I don't. I just like that everything is one. All the cables go off the back. And it's just been, I mean, hands down, the most incredible machine I've ever owned. And time will tell if I move to the Mac Pro in the future. But if I do, it won't be because the iMac Pro has let me down in any way. And I've got the base model. It's the $5,000 model, which is still the most expensive computer I've ever bought by far. But it is so good at what I need. It's just great. I'm glad you picked this. It deserves to be on this list.
Just in case my iMac is listening, I have no interest in the Mac Pro. You are the only one for me. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Well, someone on the show's got to do it, I guess. So
yeah, that's it. Tell Mary you're doing it for the Mac Power users. Yeah, David said one of us has to buy one. Next time she sees me, she's gonna punch me right in the nose.
She's gonna ask, "Is David chipping in?" So that's good. So we have the original plastic MacBook, the Macintosh 128, the titanium PowerBook, and the iMac Pro. I picked two notebooks. You picked two desktops. Yeah. Mine are from the past. Mine are both Archetype machines. The titanium, like we said, defined the modern notebook. The MacBook was the first like consumer Intel Mac. And you picked the beginning and the most current. It's like we've approached this very different ways.
Yes. Well, where are you going next?
Very different ways. So we've got round two. So I think we need to ask Siri again. I think we'll flip a coin. So do you still want heads?
Yeah, man. At some point, it's going to work.
Yeah, okay. Flip a coin.
It's heads this time.
Hey, right. I heard that.
You get to go first. I heard that. Yeah, I took it off vibrate that time.
What is our category now?
We're still on the Mac. So good. We have two rounds of Mac, and then round three is just other
All
stuff.
Right, good,
so
good. I'm going to pick the iMac.
You sniped me. This was going to be my first one in this round.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's another game changer. You know, we talked about beige boxes, and then the iMac showed up. I remember the commercials. What I really remember about it, because I had kind of given up on Apple at that point. I was living a life of pain with the PC. And I'm like, oh, hey, they're still around and they're making something awesome. And the iMac was the start of it all, you know, the second act of Steve Jobs and Apple in general. So I think it's historically relevant, but it also was a very interesting computer. I mean, it was the beginning of USB. While it wasn't the most powerful computer, it was, again, a computer designed around the principle of creating things and getting work done.
It was, and they did it in a consumer application that was colorful and friendly. You know, I could talk all day about this. I'll just have in the show notes a link to my iMac G3 project where I rounded up all 13 finishes, did a bunch of research, wrote a book, wrote a bunch of articles, and then donated them to a museum. Like, that's a year and a half of my life in two sentences.
Now that I think about it, I probably should not have chosen this because...
No, it's great. There should be some sniping in these drafts. You can't overstate the importance of this computer in Apple's history, bring them back from the brink. It helped this computer being such a success helped fund the creation of Mac OS X, because these came out with Mac OS 8 originally, you know, and then 9, and then eventually 10.
Yeah.
This was, you know, 90s Mac software, right? But the computer was so enticing because of the design, and they did push it forward with USB and getting rid of those legacy ports, getting rid of the floppy drive, which drove people up the wall. You know, the original iMac didn't have a CD burner, right? There was no way to get media on and off unless you had a USB drive of some sort. So they really pushed the envelope with that, and it was a success. It was a huge gamble, and it paid off. And look, the iMac is still around today, still is an all-in-one, and it proved that the all-in-one design was relevant in the 90s, just like it is today.
Yeah.
Great pick.
All right. Your turn.
I'm a little mad you got it. That was next to mine, so I'm looking through here.
Well, at least you got the plastic MacBook.
Yeah. It's so cool in black. I am going to go with the PowerMac G4 Cube.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was on my list.
Another computer that was driven by design, like the iMac G3 was. It looked incredible. It had a G4 in it. No fan. It was silent. But it was not a great computer. It was expensive for what it was. It had some performance issues. It was never going to be the powerhouse that the full-blown tower could be, just because of its thermals, because of its limitations. And it didn't really sell very well, and Apple ended up not discontinuing it, but, quote, putting it on ice. Not sure what that means. Maybe that means it come back at any time. It's interesting.
They literally put it on ice because it needed to be on ice.
It got hot. No, it's good. It had this touch-sensitive power button on the top, and the optical drive was in the top. So you loaded CDs, like you were like lowering them into it, and they would arise out of it like a phoenix from the ashes. It was incredible. But people would put papers on top of it, and it would overheat, and they'd hit the power button accidentally. And it was just – it was a great museum piece. It was the first computer in my collection. It's what got me interested in collecting. Objectively, if you have to look at it that way, not the best G4 money could buy. But Apple – Steve Jobs in particular loved cubes. There was a Next Cube, which I have one. It's enormous, black, magnesium beast of a computer. G4 Cube, of course, the New York Apple Store. What's interesting is the Cube is about the same size as the trash can Mac Pro. And you put them side by side, like they kind of take up the same amount of space. So maybe Apple shouldn't build powerful computers that small. That's what we're saying. Powerful computers should be big so it can breathe and you can expand it and all that stuff. But it's such an iconic computer, it's got to be listed.
Not surprisingly, they both had thermal issues, you know. But the I had a friend that had a Cube in the day, and I used to go over to his house and check it out. And it was just, you're right, it was just a sexy beast, you know. I mean, you could forget a lot when you looked at a computer that pretty. I'm finally going to pick a laptop, and I'm going to pick the second iteration of the MacBook Air. We had the first one that Steve pulled out of an envelope. I was in the room when they were taking the pictures after the keynote. They had like a, you know, I was there and I just didn't leave, you know. So I was there. I was in the back of the room and the photographer said to Steve, put it on your fingertips. And then he put it on his fingertips. And that's that iconic picture, you know, of the MacBook he's holding on his finger, mm-hmm. the original, the one with the shuttle bay doors for the USB ports. But the one I really loved was the second iteration of that, where the 11 and 13 inch. It came out, I guess, a couple years later.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing computer. I mean, we have one in our house that just stopped working a few months ago. And I just feel like that is, in some ways, the ultimate design, the ultimate destination for that era of Apple laptops. Everybody that had them loved them. They're rock solid in performance. They're light. Today's standards, you know, I don't like the screen. There's things we don't like about them, but man, what a computer that was.
In a way, it's significant for the same reason the Titanium is, right? Like, I think even in that keynote, Steve Jobs says, we think all notebooks are going to be this way in the future. And he was right. They're thin and light, great battery life, all solid state storage, quiet, reliable, no spinning hard drives. And that has come true. And if you look at the MacBook Air today, it's very much in those footsteps. But even the MacBook Pros, they're sort of the child of the old MacBook Pros and this generation of MacBook Air. They've sort of merged in a way. And again, like the original MacBook, for a long time, 13-inch MacBook Airs were everywhere. In fact, it was Apple's best-selling computer many, many, many years in a row. Yeah. And it's still great. And that's why that name is still around. I think when the MacBook Air came out, people were confused. Like, why not just call it the MacBook? Especially when the 12-inch MacBook went away. But the MacBook Air brand is really beloved because of this computer, not because of the first one. The first one was amazing in its own right until you had to use it.
It was an edge case, really, that first
one. But the second gen Air, the 13-inch and the 11.6 to a degree, they were just like a mainstream computer for everybody. And yeah, it's a phenomenal system. And they had great success with that for a long time.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a good choice. So I have the last Mac slot now. And I'm torn. We do have a bring out your dead at the end so we can talk about machines that didn't make the cut. Good. So I'm going to pick the 20th anniversary Mac. It's weird. It was really expensive. It didn't sell very well. But if you're a Mac head, this is a computer that you know. because...
Yeah, I feel like that's on brand for you.
Yeah. I bought one for myself for my 30th birthday because that's, you know, what you do, I guess.
Is it running? Is the one you have run?
It does. It absolutely does. And it is just a wacky machine because it was built at a time where LCDs were really expensive, but it has one. It has an optical drive on its side, which didn't work very well, but they did it. It was a machine that existed as a celebration of the Mac, but because it came from 90s Apple, it was a year late. I'm going to try to dig it up for the show notes. There's a clip of a when they announced it, and like Apple gave one to Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, and it's the most upsetting like keynote video you've ever seen. Like, it's just so bad. There's also the promotion video where Johnny Ive has hair and he's like talking about it and he's not buff yet. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's just like a little moment in time where so many computers from this era at Apple were just forgotten because they were not very good. This one has stood the test of time because it really was so unique and strange, and people really are attracted to that. So it's just a weird machine, man. Weird computer.
This is the one that didn't they like deliver it to you in a limo or something if you bought it?
Yeah, and like a guy came and set it up for you, and you know, it goes on, and it was really expensive, and they didn't sell many of them, and then it went away.
Yeah. All right.
So there's that.
Well, I'll give that one to you. It feels to me like totally on brand for the museum Mac history guy.
Oh yeah. It has this, if you look at pictures of it, it has this huge external subwoofer that's also like the power supply, and it's got a CD-ROM so you can like play CDs on it. It sounds really good. Like as a sound system, it's incredible. Yeah. But you're stuck running, you know, Mac OS 8 or something.
All right.
So that's our Mac choices.
Are we now we're going to do our third round?
Yes, other Apple hardware, just anything else. And I will ask Siri to flip a coin again. Turn off my vibrate. Flip a coin. Oh, boy. Flip a coin. All right. You get to go first.
Wow. I was hoping I wouldn't get to go first because I'm really torn between two. The obvious one and the less obvious one. All right. Okay. I'm gonna give you the best pick, but I'm going to pick the iPad.
All right.
Yeah. The thing about the iPad was I always wanted an iPad. You know, I mean, people talk about like watching 2001 Space Odyssey and they were working on iPads, watching Star Trek and they were working on iPads. The idea of a flat piece of glass that is a computer that works with me is something I always wanted. And there were rumors of it for years, you know, and I had heard all these various, you know, sizes and ideas And every year, for many years, I'd be heading off to Macworld saying, maybe this will be the year we get, you know, the tablet. And the day that the iPad released, I got it and I got it on launch day. And I just remember opening that thing up and being so happy that Apple made this product. And to this day, it's still just an amazing piece of technology. You know, just like last night, I was laying in bed working on the outline for an MPU episode. And I had video playing and I was working on an outline and I was just tapping on glass. And it's just like such a different world with the iPad. And I know it's got its problems and it's getting better in some ways and not in other ways. But the fact that this thing exists and no other manufacturers really made anything similar. I mean, I know there's other tablets out there, but none of them have the foothold that the iPad does for good reason. And I'm just so happy Apple made this product.
Yeah, I remember that lead up to it, and I got this wrong at the time. I was really hoping it would run Mac OS X, but it didn't. It ran, at the time, iPhone OS is what it was still called, actually. But in recent years, and really this year, perhaps most noticeably, they've really done a good job at making the iPad separate from the phone, even though the roots are the same. Giving it its own identity, giving it its own user interface. And I hope that continues because the iPad deserves to be independent from the phone more than it is. But yeah, there's no doubt that the iPad has really taken off in a way that I'm not sure Apple really I don't know what Apple's goal was with the iPad. If they wanted to make something just better than a laptop and better than a phone for some things, or they realized that they were making and wanted to make a laptop replacement. But that's really, it feels like that's where it's headed, at least for some types of users.
It's been a slow, painful birth, honestly. But the fundamental premise of a piece of glass that you carry around and do computing on is right in my mind. And I love it. I just think it's a great piece of technology. And I look for excuses to use it. Even though I'm really good on a Mac, I look for excuses to use the iPad. So that must mean something.
I think I'm going to go with what you declined to pick, but it's the original iPhone, because it's got to be, because it changed every single thing, not only about Apple, but really consumer electronics at large, and obviously the smartphone industry.
It changed society. I mean, that's the obvious first pick. It's just amazing. I remember when they announced it, I'm like, $600, I don't know if I can afford that. And I remember like a couple days before they released it, they had the videos of the guy in the black sweater and the glasses. I don't remember his name. But they did a whole bunch of hands-on videos walking you through, this is how you get maps, this is how you do. And it was like, it was so different and so much better than my Palm Trio that I was like, all right. I told my wife, I said, okay, Father's Day, Christmas, whatever, I'm going to go buy one of these phones, you know? And it's just...
I was really glad to get it half off as an Apple employee at the time.
Yeah, I bet you were. Bet you were.
Yeah, and again, like so many of these things start slow. You could really argue that the society changing stuff really happened with the second one, with the app, when the App Store came out the next year. You can't go anywhere without seeing a smartphone. And at least in the US, where the iPhone is pretty dominant, it's usually an iPhone. And of course, worldwide, Android is much bigger. But yeah, it's another thing, you can't overstate its importance. And it really did change Apple. Apple was the computer company. And this is when they became a devices company, and they ended up changing their name after this.
Yeah.
Dropping computer from the name.
I mean, it disrupted industries. It's like this monumental force. And even though there are more Android devices sold than iPhones worldwide, I don't think there's any other single company device sold in a greater quantity than the iPhone. I mean, it's amazing how big this was. And I often wonder, did they have any idea that they were grabbing the tiger by the tail when they released this?
I don't know. I think it would have been impossible, even in their wildest dreams, to guess its impact worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, you name another electronics product that has done it, and there's just nothing. Yeah. Like, it is the top of the list.
It's like the blessing and the curse, because now everybody says, every time they come out with something new, they're like, well, it's not doing as good as the iPhone. Like, everybody makes fun of the Apple Watch, but it was never going to be, as big as there's nothing that could be as big as the iPhone. Probably. Mm-hmm. I don't think Apple will ever, you never want to say never, but it's going to be really hard pressed to find another product that is as huge as the iPhone is. Now it's harder for me.
Those are my top two. And my other list, I had original iPhone, original iPad.
Yeah.
Right under each other.
Yeah. All right. So I don't really have a hit list here, but I think probably I'm looking at two right now. Okay. I will pick the Apple Watch. I love the Apple Watch. I know, I guess you're no longer an Apple Watch person, I'm hearing. But the health stuff, just the idea, getting even more portable with the internet, a device that fits on your wrist. I like that. And I use it every day. This is maybe a selfish pick, in the sense that I like having information on my wrist. I like the way it combines with my phone. I really like the way it motivates me to be more healthy. And I've never had a piece of electronics or anything I wear do that before. Again, it's a device that's had kind of a slow, painful birth. I think it could be further along, than it is. But overall, I'm really happy with the Apple Watch.
I think it's been a bit of a sleeper for Apple. They don't give you sales numbers, but just subjectively, being out in the world, traveling a lot, like I have this summer, they're kind of everywhere all of a sudden. Yeah. Like I see Apple Watches and on all sorts of types of people, right? Not just people who you would look at them and say, oh, they're probably a computer nerd. Yeah. But like, and I think it's because the Apple Watch has become, like you said, through a slow process, different things for different people. Like, I do still wear mine while working out, doing activities, because I like the fitness tracking. Other people don't care about that, and they just want notifications. Other people may just want it for something, you know, like, you know, having just Siri on their wrist, or having, you know, access to, you know, easily communicating with people via the phone or something. So it's become different things for different people. And I think Apple has learned that over time. I think at the beginning, they thought it was going to be the next smartphone, and it's just not, at least at this point in time. But it has carved out use cases for itself where it is better than a smartphone in some areas.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right. So I'm going to go with the iPod Nano.
It's a good one.
For a couple of reasons. The iPod, you know, was struggling along. The iPod Mini was the first big hit, but I'm choosing the Nano not because it was bigger or smaller than the Mini, because the Mini was really where the iPod took off for the first time. But the Nano was a good example of Apple killing off a extremely successful product and replacing with something way better. So the iPod Mini was great. It was smaller and lighter than the original iPod. It came in colors. People really liked that. But it still uses a spinning hard drive. And the Nano was the first time that Apple used flash on something besides the Shuffle. And it made it way smaller, way lighter. And they actually got rid of the colors initially. The first gen was just white and black. But the size of it was mind-blowing. And it took real guts on Apple's part to kill off their most successful, most popular product to replace it with this. Yeah. And eventually, the Nano, as we know, spawned many generations, countless colors, different form factors. Apple already played with the Nano a lot over its lifetime. And it was just a huge hit. And it was so customizable in color, far beyond the Mini. You know, some generations had 7, 8, 9 colors. It was crazy. And people really were attracted to that. And I wish that Apple would do more color stuff on the phones. I know we have the iPhone XR right now, and it seems like next year or this now, just a couple of weeks really, we'll have more different colors on the successor to the XR or to the XR. But it's the Nano really kind of proved that out and built upon the Mini success while replacing it in something that was – I remember they showed off that Nano. Steve Jobs pulled it out of his pocket. It was like – how in the holy moly, yeah. Like, this is something groundbreaking, and it's cool. I mean, still a Nano still feels small today by today's standards, and it came out, you know, 15 years ago.
And it was also just cool that Apple had a product where they were experimental with the design every year. It's like, what's it going to look like this year? Is it going to be the fat Nano? Is it going to be a stick of gum Nano with no buttons? I mean, they were always trying different things. I kind of wish Apple had a product they could do that with now. I feel like they're...
The iPhone is going to be a rectangle of glass, right? Yeah. Like, the watch is going to be what it is. Yeah. And you're right, the Nano, I mean, I've got one of every generation here, and they're wildly different, but they're also of a family for the most part.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, with the numbers that they're selling these things, they can't be that experimental. But I wish they did have a product they could do that with again.
Me too.
All right, I don't know. You may, we may need to, you know, refer this to the forum to see if this is a proper pick or not. At the end of the day, you guys may disqualify this pick. Uh-oh. But I was thinking about this, and you know, a pick, we mentioned it a minute ago. I think the App Store is a pick, and I think the App Store is something that Apple did amazing in the last few years. I mean,
the round is literally called Other Apple Hardware.
Oh, I thought it was Other Apple Services and Hardware. All right. Okay. Forget it then. Take the App Store out.
Take it out.
All right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm going to strike it down.
Okay. Well, then you know what? I'm going to pick the thing in my pocket right now. The AirPods. I love the AirPods.
Ooh. This is my next one. Again, you've gotten me. Right. Dang it.
They're just amazing, right? I mean, they work.
Yeah.
The other day, I opened my AirPod case, and there was just one in there, and my heart was broken. And so then,
scary.
I went through the process and found it in my shirt pocket from the day before. Thank goodness. But I love the AirPods, man. They're so great. I use them for they're my phone answering. You know, I use them for my phone stuff all day, but I also just use them to listen to music. I haven't had that experience where I walk out a door and my head and ears get yanked backwards as the cord gets caught on the handle in years now. And I don't know. I think it's a great design, and it only got better with it. I got the second generation one, and the you know, triggering Siri is much easier now with your voice. You don't have to bang on your ears anymore. I don't know. It's a great product. I'm curious to see where they go with it.
I love mine so much. Anytime I leave the house, they're with me. Anytime I'm in my office, they're with me. I use them for phone calls. I use them washing dishes. I use them at the gym. They are, on the surface, if you just explain to somebody, it's just the headphones without the cord. That just sounds like not a big deal, but it's so game changing. And the new generation in particular, I've upgraded to. The battery life is great. The wireless charging is really nice if you already have a wireless charger. It's not worth spending the money if you're not already wirelessly charging your phone, but it makes it easy to just drop it on a pad and know it's going to be, you know, trickle charging throughout the day. This is one of the few products in my life, Apple technology or not, that if I lost, I would replace them the next day. Like I really love them and use them all the time. It's a huge home run. Good choice. Good choice.
Better than the App Store?
Yes. It was not hardware. All right. I'm looking at my list, David. What I want to pick is related to something we already have picked, but I feel like it deserves an honorable mention.
A battery case, right?
It could... No, not the battery case. Although it is good. I have one for my XS. I have some old stuff on here that maybe just comes out in... Bring out your dead. So, you know, I'm just going to go for it, and I'm going to say the iPhone 4.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's when the iPhone grew up. The original iPhone was great. The 3G and 3GS, plastic, whatever. But the 4, beautiful design, and of course, it introduced the era of the Retina display. And we are fully in the Retina, finally, with the MacBook Air, finally, just last year. Fully into Retina world, where anything that Apple sells with a screen on it has a Retina display. And the 4, I feel like, out of all the iPhones that we've ever had, it is the one that the design I consider timeless. You know, yes, it's small. Like, the screen feels small now, of course. But the materials used, the manufacturing precision, the way that it feels in your hand... It's timeless. I think it is an object that will continue to look amazing for years and years to come. The technology in it is obsolete, but the way it was put together, the thing just on your desk is spectacular to this day.
I love that stainless steel band. I guess it's stainless steel, or is it aluminum band?
It's stainless steel.
Stainless steel band with two pieces of glass on either side. That is by far my favorite iPhone design ever. I mean, it's gorgeous. The monolith, you know, and the way the band is a little bit offset. So there's a little like step in between them. I mean, that's the phone that I used to just sit and look at, you know, like you'd sit there in your chair and just turn it on different angles and look at it. And I know there's problems having glass on both sides, and I know that that's the one that had the antenna gate and all that, but damn, that was a beautiful iPhone.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of hopeful, you know, the iPad Pros we have now with these squared off edges, yeah. I kind of hope that comes back to the phone, that maybe we see the 11 or whatever is after, you know, 11S. We're recording this right before a new iPhone, so not 2019's new iPhones, but 2020's new iPhones, maybe we'll see a return to this sort of design language. I would love it. They've been slippery bars of slope for too long. I'm ready for squared off edges again.
Oh yeah, man. The iPad Pro design put on an iPhone. Sign me up. Sign me up.
Yes. I want to live in that future. So for my things that didn't get picked, I'll just go through these quickly. I have the iMac G4. Look, the design is incredible. It was only on sale a couple of years. It's so whimsical. You could put the display wherever you wanted it. The iMac G4 exists because they had to compromise. The optical drives at the time, the hard drives at the time, didn't run very quickly on their sides. Of course, the iMac G5 came out 2.5-3 years later, and they had fixed that problem. So the iMac G5 is clearly where they wanted. And look, the G5 is still kind of the design we have now, right, with the computer all tucked behind the display. But the G4 is so charming and so much fun. You just can't help but love it. And I know I love mine. And it's just, it's whimsical in a way that most computers can't be.
I only have one on my list, and it's the thing in my life, the most unrequited love, the thing I've wanted the most that I never actually got, and that is the SE30.
Okay. Oh, man.
I wanted that SE30 so bad. You know, I think it was just too expensive. I didn't have the money, but that was, like, to me, the ultimate iteration of that original classic Mac design. Just mm-hmm. better in every way. And man, I wanted an SE30 so bad. I talked about it on MPU like way back when the show first started, and a listener sent me one.
Oh, wow.
And didn't work. Couldn't get the damn thing to work.
Yeah, it's hard to find working ones.
Yeah, but what a great computer that was. And I didn't even ever work on one much. I didn't like have a friend that had one. We didn't have them at school, but man, I wanted that computer.
It's really cool. That's a great choice.
Do you have one?
I have a regular SE. I don't have a 30. They're kind of, people know they're special, so they're a little out of my,
yeah.
They get expensive. So just a couple, I got two more, three more really. The original Retina MacBook Pro, you know, kind of for the same reasons as the other Retina machines. Like it's the most modern design and you know, solid state storage and all that stuff. So I chose not to pick that when you picked the original MacBook Air or the second gen MacBook Air, because the reasons are kind of similar, but clearly an important machine and one that, you know, I lusted after. I didn't have a Retina for years until I finally made the jump. And so I'll round it out with it's me. I got to do this. I'm going to pick the Newton because it's such a weird chapter in Apple's history, right? Like John Sculley had this idea and decided that it was something Apple needed to do. And it was really groundbreaking at the time and the handwriting recognition and all that stuff. But it was a flop and Steve Jobs killed it.
Well, you actually didn't pick the Newton. This is the bring out your dead. But I fully expected you to pick a Newton.
It was on the list.
I'm surprised you didn't. So, yeah, I can see that.
It was this or the iPhone 4. Yeah. And I thought the iPhone 4 should edge it out.
Yeah.
But what's really cool about the Newton is that to this day, there's still an active community of people who really love and care about the Newton, who still use them and keep them running. And that's pretty cool. And that's not true of all old Apple hardware, right? Like, I don't think there's going to be in 20 years a bunch of people trying to keep Xserves up and running.
No.
But the Newton fans will still be there.
Yeah. And I feel like it kind of gets a bum rap because it was getting really good when they killed it. And do you think they killed it because they didn't want to work on it, or because Steve Jobs really didn't like John Sculley?
I think it's probably a lot of column A and a lot of column B.
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid list, man. There's stuff that's important. There's stuff that we just emotionally are attached to. I feel good about this work.
And I feel good about making Mac Power Users every week. I love getting on the microphone. I'm so happy, Steven, you joined the show. And I want to thank you listeners that are listening to this that support the show. It really makes a difference. I mean, it's not easy to make a living talking in a microphone. You know, someone was asking me about the price of happiness lately, and I told them I know exactly what it is. It's the difference in money that I make between when I used to have the full-time job at the firm doing fancy litigation and what I make now, you know, and it's totally worth the price. And, the support you give us really makes a difference and makes this possible. And thank you so much.
If you want to check us out, you can do so at relay.fm/MPU. We publish shows every Sunday afternoon. And this was a lot of fun, David. Thanks for joining me in this wild idea.
I don't know how we're going to beat it next year, but we'll find a way.
Yeah, we'll find a way. Talk to you later, buddy.
Take care.